Well, I think there are both kind of general results of this, and then there are specific results that have to do with people's health care. In general, I would say I've heard that there's going to be a lot of economic disruption if this bill is repealed, and many people will lose their jobs. It's been estimated that in our state, over 100,000 people would lose their jobs if this act is repealed.
Beyond the loss of jobs, obviously there's health care at stake for millions of people. What do you see happening?
Well, what I see is that the subsidies for people that people now depend on to buy their insurance on the markets that have been established by the Affordable Care Act are going to be taken away. And so many of these people will no longer be able to afford their insurance and therefore will lose it. And another important aspect is the Medicaid expansion, which came about as a result of this bill and will not be part of the Republican replace legislation.
Small business owners and even some individuals have complained for years about the excessive high premiums that are associated with what's become to be known as Obamacare. What do you tell the folks who complain about their premiums shooting up over the last 5 or 6 years as much as 300, 400, 500%?
Some people have experienced increases in their premiums. However, if you look at the long haul, it's been shown that Obamacare has actually reduced costs, or costs have risen less quickly than they had before the bill was passed. And I think that's important to keep in mind. Certainly, Affordable Care Act is not perfect and, you know, could be improved. But from what I've heard about what the Republican Congress is planning on, that does not seem to be like an improvement.
Doesn't this really just boil down to a choice of either I care more for myself or I care more for others?
Well, certainly there are those two ways of looking at it. And for me, and I think for a lot of people in our community and in our country at large, we are thinking about people in general. And not just ourselves. I mean, I'm a senior. I have Medicare. That's wonderful. But I want to say that Medicare people have also benefited from the Affordable Care Act through closing of the donut hole and also free preventative health care services. So some people think like only the people who buy on the market were benefited from the Affordable Care Act. But actually, many more people have benefited because of a lot of other provisions that are in the bill.
Julie, put a face, if you will, on this whole problem. Give me an indication or an example of that you're aware of, anyway, of someone who benefits from the Affordable Care Act now and is maybe seen at great risk if this goes away.
Yeah, well, my friend Linda Unterman, who is also one of the originators of our group Stand Up for Social Justice, she is a sufferer from multiple sclerosis, and she has been for many years. And she told me that before affordable health care, that she and her husband paid $60,000 or $70,000 a year. And she said, luckily, they had that money. They were able, and that was important. She needed the medical insurance. But how many people have that much money to carry to cover for this pre-existing condition? So people with these pre-existing conditions, if that should be changed, you know, people like Linda will be immediately affected.
The Republican Congress has a history in going about time after time of repealing and replacing Obamacare. The votes that passed Congress, but of course never signed into law by President Obama, have tried different ways and different tactics to do things like defund Planned Parenthood, provide defunding of services that are for people who maybe are more at risk than others. How do you see the future of this going forward, having that as a prologue?
Oh, yeah. Well, it is problematic for women's health care when you defund Planned Parenthood or stop extending the Medicaid expansion, which has enabled many people to be able to access the health services that are provided by Planned Parenthood. So that would be very unfortunate.
President-elect Trump says he's ready to announce a replacement plan for the ACA as soon as Congress confirms his Health and Human Services Secretary, Tom Price of Georgia. While Trump had conservative backing during the election, he's pretty much a political wild card. Are you hopeful that his replacement plan will be up to snuff, up to at least accomplishing many of the main goals of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I know he expressed, Trump expressed a desire to keep some of the more popular aspects of the plan. However, if you take away the funding mechanisms, such as the individual mandate and also the mandate for large employers to insure their people, if you take those away, then the question is how to finance the things that are popular that people like. And I don't think that I've heard an answer to that question yet.
So there is still a possibility. It's just we don't know yet, right? I mean, Trump is still the president-elect. Congress is still waiting to take some action on whatever is going to happen here. So we're kind of in this limbo.
We are. Of course, we do have as some guideline the bill that was proposed in Congress in 2015. And, you know, one can look at the provisions of that and think that those are maybe likely things that might be done. And the getting rid of the individual mandate and also the mandate for larger employees was definitely in that bill. And I don't think that Trump himself really has a detailed plan for that. And so he must be looking to Congress to do that. And the Republican Congress doesn't seem to agree yet on what they want.
They've spent the better part of the last 6 years talking about repealing and replacing Obamacare, yet here we are literally on the doorstep of doing such a thing, and there is no Republican proposal, at least I'm aware of, that is ready to be voted on by Congress.
Right. And that's very upsetting. And I think also for even the insurance industry, who wants to know what kind of a law they're going to have going forward so that they can make plans of what to offer and what to charge. They need to know, a lot before it really happens exactly what's going to happen. And they have no idea either, obviously. So,
do you think that going through the experience of setting up the Affordable Care Act the way it was, regardless of what happens if it's repealed and then replaced with something else, didn't we at least gain by the benefit of doing something in the first place? So maybe there's at least some sort of model. Maybe you discount this or discount that. But generally, there's a model out there that can serve as a framework for some sort of alternative.
Yeah, you would think that people having experienced many of the good aspects of this bill and gotten their health care covered for once, that they would want to keep something like this going because it is harder to take a benefit away from people than it is to establish it in the first place. So at least we've gotten that far, that we've established a benefit for some people and they've seen that it's good. And there may be pressure from the public to maintain a lot of these aspects, and that's good.
Over the last 6 years, the drumbeat from the Republicans has been literally based in the fact that no Republican vote went toward setting up the Affordable Care Act. And now we're hearing quite the opposite, that there may be no Democratic vote out there to support any kind of a replacement. So is health care becoming this huge political football that we're going to be dealing with every 4 or 8 years?
Well, I certainly hope not, and I think for the benefit of all people who need health care and who are sick now and who are about to get sick in the coming year or two, you know, we need to have a better plan than this, and I hope that there will be public pressure in order to get it done, because that's the only way I can see forward. It's tremendous public pressure.
Are people in Illinois at greater risk because of the fact that Illinois basically has no budget? There's very little, if any, funding for things like mental health care. And mental health care is one of the things that's seen at serious risk in the Obamacare repeal.
Right.
So what's going to happen to people in Illinois who have mental health issues?
Right. I mean, mental health, and I would add to that addiction, because addiction is also covered in Affordable Care Act, and those things are really at risk. And, for example, if the extension of Medicaid goes away, and say in Illinois they still want to maintain insurance for those people, then our state will have to kick in a lot more money in order to maintain coverage for that extension. And where's that money going to come from? That would create a very big problem, because we're having budget problems already.
There is this provision in Obamacare that allows people under 26 to remain on their parents' health plans. This would be at risk if Obamacare is repealed. Yet many in Congress and even in the president-elect himself says this is one sensible part of the Affordable Care Act that should remain. If the agreed-to parts are at risk, what does that say about the entire health care setup?
Yeah, I just don't think that Republicans have figured out how to pay for what they think is popular that they'd like to keep. If they get rid of the individual mandate and the other features of the bill that have to finance the way it's done. And those are all the things they don't want, is the things that are financing the program that we have now. So how are they going to finance these things that they want to keep? And I don't know, I haven't seen their answer to that.
Everyone knew as soon as Republicans gained control of the federal government that this would be happening. So who ultimately is responsible, the Republicans or the people who elected the Republicans or Donald Trump into office?
Well, certainly elections are the way things run in our country. And, you know, we elected all those the senators who were up for election and all the people in the House of Representatives who won. We elected those people. So in some way, shape or form, people will have to vote differently next time if they don't like what's happening. But there have been a lot of other things in the political landscape that have tilted it. And that's, of course, a whole other discussion. But there's the whole issue of false news and the way the press handled the election and many other things which we'd like to improve in this country and fix. But I think it does ultimately come down to the ballot box, and people have to get a lot more engaged in that.